Hi, my name is Katie Blummer, and my passion is helping women learn how to put themselves first. I learned all the tools for success on my own 12-year journey that has led me to finally figuring out how to live my best life. My journey included overcoming body image issues and yo-yo dieting, climbing the corporate ladder to a multiple six-figure career, navigating mom guilt through a 60-hour work week, turning around marriage issues, and much more. Now I'm truly living my best life, and I've pretty much become obsessed with teaching others my tried and true methods for creating balance, maintaining healthy habits, improving your relationship, career development, and how to stop tying your value and worth to the way you look and how you serve others. I'm so passionate about helping others learn this that I created the Working Mom Happiness Method to help you get there too. So if you're ready to learn how to live your best life, pull up a chair or put on your walking shoes and get ready to dive in. This is the Working Mom Happiness Method podcast. Okay, welcome to this episode of the Working Mom Happiness Method podcast. I am so excited today to have Megan Campbell joining me. And I'm very excited about this for two reasons. Number one, Meg, I call you Meg. You're Megan, but I call you Meg. Meg is the very first person who signed up to take the Working Mom Happiness Method. And I can't believe this, but that was October of 2020. We're coming up on 4 years ago, which is wild. So I guess about 3.5 years ago now that you took the program, but you were the very first person to sign up. And back at that point, I didn't know if anybody would ever sign up. So I was so excited when I got your call and you were, you know, interested and you signed up to take the program. And so I'm excited to talk about that and talk about, you know, how the program has helped you and changed your life. But I'm honestly even more excited to talk about your book. Like, you wrote a book. It's so huge. It's amazing. So Megan wrote a book. It's called With Grace and Gratitude, A Memoir of Uncoupling, Co-parenting, and Collective Healing. And she probably won't say this about herself, but I consider Meg to be a really an expert on how to guide children through divorce in a healing way and many other things related to divorce that I think many, many, many women and people are going to find so helpful and so healing. So I'm excited to hear more about that. So welcome. Yeah, can't wait to just jump in and talk more. So first of all, Megan, why don't you just start by telling us just a little bit about yourself? And we'll just start there and then we'll jump in. I have so many questions for you. I'm excited.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks so much, Katie. And for all your kind words, I am excited to talk about the Working Mom Happiness Method program. I'm excited to talk about the book. I'm excited to talk about all of it. So yes, let's see. I am a mom, a working mom. I have three kids who I absolutely adore. I'm sure we will get into how I connected with Katie and started the program and how instrumental that was in kind of shaping and really helping me feel present and connected with my kids in this window of them still being young and at home. I have worked in education for the past about 15 years, primarily in early childhood education, preschool, taught kindergarten for many years. And then more recently, I currently work full-time at Utah State University as a program coordinator for a graduate program in the Department of Psychology. Let's see. And then, yes, I have very slowly written a book, a memoir of my divorce story.
Awesome. And can you just tell everybody a little bit about your education specifically? Because I know you have degrees in these areas. Like, that's, I truly do think you're an expert, but I think that would be helpful.
Yes. So I have undergraduate degrees in psychology, elementary, and deaf education, and then my master of education in school counseling.
Love that. Okay. Thank you. All right. So why don't we start a little bit about your journey with the Working Mom Happiness Method? So can you just tell us a little bit about some of the pain points and struggles you were having as a busy working mom that sort of led you to reaching out to take the program? Or what were you going through at that point?
I was the program has a whole section in my book where I even shared a journal entry from the time. I didn't even mean to when I started outlining book chapters. I ended up using a number of either social media posts or journal entries, therapy notes, all sorts of things. But I have a journal entry that really speaks to just how super overwhelmed I was feeling at the time. And I don't use that adjective, like overwhelmed, lightly. I really was struggling. I just felt my nervous system was dysregulated all the time. I was still in graduate school full time. I was TAing in that graduate program, thinking I should probably start thinking about how I'm going to eventually pay off all these student loans I took out to finish graduate school, and teaching kindergarten full time, which was, this is now, we just returned after quarantine. And so I had in-person students. I had students who were online, just trying to meet these really brand new and different demands in the K-12 setting. So it was a lot. And then my three kids, right? Primary caregiving to three kids is a full-time job in and of itself. So I was just spread really thin and then feeling incredibly. And this is maybe where we get into the intersection of like divorce and balance and working moms. And I was feeling really guilty at having got divorced, at how it stressed these, primarily financial resources that I couldn't keep up with kind of the demands in my, personal life, professional life, everywhere. I was just struggling to feel like make it all work.
I mean, all the things. Seriously, like I just think about, even if we just like rattle them off, working, three kids, single mom at the time, master's degree, like TAing, right? And then, the things that don't even come up, which is like the cleaning and the cooking and the chauffeuring, right? I know that some of your kids participate in very competitive sports where you're doing carpools and you're balancing like all those things that, don't even come up as like the big categories, but really are big in themselves. And I just know that so many women can relate to that, and working moms can relate to that, just feeling that overwhelm and that exhaustion and just the amount of things that we juggle in our lives. It's overwhelming and it's exhausting. So I've been there. I mean, I can't say that I've been there from a single mom perspective. I've never had school on top of all that while being a mom, being a single mom. So I can't say that I've been there, but I know the feeling of burnout, overwhelm, and exhaustion. And it's just not the way we want to live our lives. I mean, I know that's said like super simply, but it's just not.
Absolutely.
You can't live your best happy life when you're feeling that way. So I would love it if you would share some of the tools that helped you to get through that time and make some changes that you learned from taking the program. Like, what are the biggest things that come to mind for you?
Yeah, so many, which even when the whole exercise of kind of writing out all the takeaways and really how this program influenced and honestly changed my life was really helpful to kind of process it out in writing. But also, if I back up even further, something that I've learned just throughout divorce and parenting and getting older is the importance of reaching out and obtaining support when I know I need it. And we have actually a mutual friend who really connected me with you, Katie. Yep. I was talking to her and just sharing how just stressful that time of life was and needing to make a plan, and this isn't sustainable, right? Something needed to be done. So yes, this mutual friend said, hey, I have a friend, referring to Katie, who's working on this program for working moms to help with balance, to help with all these things. So that's how I initially came to make that. I didn't know I was the first, but to make that first phone call, I don't think you'd even advertise it anywhere. I really just called and was like, hey, I heard you might be offering something like this. And we agreed that I needed it. But yes, getting back, right, the takeaways. And they were things, it was so interesting and so good for me, because in hindsight, I'm like, I think I knew these things, but did I know these things? Things like really coming to understand and genuinely believes I have innate value and worth, right? Not dependent on what I can do for others, not contingent on anything I do or don't accomplish. That was huge.
And can I just pause you on that one? Because I think this is relevant for those listening. I think that most of us, especially those of us who have been achievers in life with our careers and our families and all of that, we're on paper, like our lives look really good, right? I think most of us would say we do value ourselves and we do believe that we have value and worth. Like, I don't think most of us would say, no, we don't. But I think the kicker is that we don't act like it. We don't act like we have innate value and worth. We don't value ourselves enough to act with radical self-care and ask for help and really put ourselves first. And that's a big part of what my program is, because I used to say, I think I'm a good person. I'm confident about who I am. I would tell you I hated my body. You know, body image is a big part of it, but which is terrible. I mean, you live your life in your body, right? But that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But I would have said, I'm pretty confident about myself and I love myself, but really I wasn't acting like it. And so there is a difference between thinking you believe it and truly acting like you believe it. And I think that's the key, is starting to act like it.
Yes, absolutely. And that was a huge takeaway, right? When I wrote them all out, I'm like, haven't I always thought this? But the difference was, did I act like it? Did I practice it? Did I genuinely understand those things?
Yes.
So for sure. Along those lines, another same thing that I would have claimed I've always believed, but not necessarily practicing it, is I am responsible for my own life and happiness. We talked a lot about, yes, others might enhance it, but that is something that can't be outsourced, that we are just responsible for ourselves. And then this might be, you can tell me if this is too much of a tangent, but I remember in our whole values module, right, you didn't give any instruction. Just trying to get clear on our values. The only thing you instructed was list yourself first. And I was super uncomfortable with that. I even got on a phone call with you because I'm like, well, that's just inaccurate. My kids are going first.
Right.
And we had a really good talk.
Yes. And I have had that exact conversation with, I would say, nearly every single one of the women who's taken my program. It is so hard for us because we've actually been taught by our society that it's wrong, like morally wrong, to prioritize yourself or put yourself above your kids. And that doesn't mean that if your kid got into an emergency, you wouldn't drop everything and go to them. Like, of course we would. But in general, absolutely, we can and should. I don't like shoulds, but this is one should that I believe in. We should be putting ourselves at the top of our priority list, even over our children, because the cliche is true. You're going to be a better mom to them if you prioritize yourself. But I do remember that talk. And the other talk that I remember from you specifically, even though we're coming up on 4 years ago, was affirmations. You felt like you were lying to yourself. Do you remember that? We talked about yes. That because, as a reminder, in my program, for those listening, if you haven't taken the program or if you don't remember, for affirmations in my program, you write a goal as if you've already achieved it. So like the example that's easy to use is you could write, I have $5 million in my bank account. And that's not what everybody wants. It's just an easy example. And so obviously that's a lie. Like, you don't have $5 million in your bank account. So if you read that every morning, technically it's a lie, but it's really meant to trick your subconscious program. You're really kind of just lying to that little subconscious program that believes whatever you tell it. And if you read something over and over again every day, your subconscious will start to believe it. And then you'll start to act like a person who actually does have the 5 million. You'll start making more choices that make you more money. And you could apply that to any sort of goal in your life. And we had that talk, right? But you were like, this feels like I'm just lying to myself. And I was like, well, you kind of are, but it's to trick that subconscious into reprogramming itself, basically. Yeah.
Yes. And what an awesome full circle moment, because on my best life document, I have that affirmation. Like, I've written my divorce story, right?
I just got chills. That many years. Like, literally. And you did it. It's done.
And
it's wild.
Did it. It's crazy. It is. But that's been on there for the past, right, nearly 4 years. And that felt like incongruent at the time, right? Because I'm like, I'm never going to do that. When am I ever going to do that?
Yes, yes. That's why this stuff works. It works.
Yes.
You read it every morning. And I say this a million times in my program, small, consistent actions done over long periods of time change your life, reach your goals. And that's exactly what happened here. It's going to take longer than you think, but if you look at it most mornings, you will do it. It's crazy, right?
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah. I love that so much.
I know, I do too.
I love that. Okay, was there anything else? Sorry, I keep interrupting you because I get so excited about these things, but was there anything else?
I would add something the program really helped me with, setting and honoring boundaries, both with myself and others, and just understanding that that's key, really key to protecting my time and energy. And then it also allowed me, again, in the context of divorce and co-parenting and work that I'd done with an uncoupling coach as well, helped me really distinguish like the difference between, right, boundaries and then, well, I need these boundaries, but what are also gestures of goodwill that I truly can afford, right? And understanding, all right, this, don't call this a boundary if it's just your ego refusing to grant a gesture of goodwill to your co-parent. Anyway, awesome boundary work and helping me recognize, like, even when the days are, they're still jam-packed, right? Like nothing, I'm like very little about my actual schedule has changed, but just this really getting clear on my boundaries, understanding how to spend my time in line with like core values, and then recognizing like I really am most happy, present, and able to experience like just being alive when I'm doing those things, right? Oh, when I'm spending my time in line with values, when I am strong on boundaries that protect that kind of time and energy.
That is so beautifully said. And I think it's a great thing to emphasize that you don't have to quit your job or make massive changes in order to go from full burnout, exhaustion, overwhelm over to living a fulfilling, happy life. Like some people do. Some people need to make big changes. Like some people are in a toxic place or an abusive place or, you know, a place where they really have to make a big change. But and they should. And part of my program is empowering them to do that. But for most of us, it is really getting deep in these ways that you're talking about and bringing them into our lives in almost like smaller ways, for lack of a better way to describe it, where you bring in little ways that you're spending your time in the ways that align with your values versus making massive changes, if that makes sense.
Yes. And I think a large part of that too is probably just even the subtle shifts in mindset, because some of like that stress, just worrying about, right, maybe not being available for this for the kids, or I forgot this, or I missed this. You can spend so much just mental energy stressing over those things. Like I still, if we kind of go back to that discussion we had about, I wanted to list my kids first, right, on our values outline. And I can still remember things you said to me that really I still remind myself of to this day, right? You asked me like, well, would you ever want, you really used my powerful love for kids, like all of us, our powerful love for kids, to prove or demonstrate this point of like, would you ever want your kids to grow up and value something or someone else more than themselves? Like, what do you want them to understand and believe about who's accountable for them, who's accountable for their lives, for their happiness, and that they need to see adults, they need to see their parents, they need to see their mom model that so that they can learn how to pursue their best lives. And that's what we want ultimately for them already.
Yes. I love it. It's such a good little mindset trick, right? Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. Okay. I know that you took away a lot, but I would really rather talk about your book. Is that okay?
Oh, so great.
I'm so excited for you to share more about your book. So maybe just tell us, like, I would love to hear the story from the beginning, because a lot of people have a dream to write a book or do some big piece of work like that. And so I think that people might find it interesting to just hear like you know, at what point did you know you need to write it? And then how did you get started? And tell us a little bit about the process. And then I would also love to hear more about the book itself and what's in it. And maybe you can even share, you know, some of the key themes that would be helpful for people right now who are listening.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. So talking the timeline kind of thing, just for some background, I got divorced March of 2018. So I just passed, 6 years ago. And then by the time I started the program was fall of 2020, right? So those 2 years, I'll kind of talk about the book, deciding to write a book about it, kind of happened somewhere in those 2 years. I think after the first year post-divorce, my former husband and I were getting tons of questions about our uncoupling, about our co-parenting relationship. And I 100% acknowledge it's less common, that we're more the exception than the rule. And I mean, all those questions, like, how do you do it? How have you been so civil? How do you collaborate in these capacities? How, right? And trying to answer these, like, I ended up writing a book, honestly, is kind of what happened. People would tell me, you should write about this experience. You should write about kind of what it took. So it really is just so much of the how and the hard to uncouple really with grace and gratitude is where the title came from. I was fortunate myself to, again, going back to, that is one thing, I will reach out and get help when I know I need it, when I know it is affecting the quality of my relationships with kids, with it's affecting my ability to just, right, show up day to day and the responsibilities I need to. So I found an uncoupling coach in the very earliest stages of our divorce who really was instrumental in helping me navigate such a heavy and difficult chapter. And she encouraged, just at the very beginning of our separating, to set this joint intention. And I, again, am so fortunate for a co-parent who was willing to agree to this, right? To be able to have these hard conversations, even when we couldn't stand to be speaking to each other, could have these hard conversations. And so we did set this joint intention to, right, protect the kids, no matter what. Like, it's never kids' responsibility to hold adult emotions, pain, rage, whatever it is, that we would filter behavior, comments, just filter everything kind of through this question, how will this affect our family, and just really prioritize our kids' health and development, like social, emotional, mental, spiritual, just protect them through massive change to the family, right? Very life-changing for everyone, something they wouldn't have chose themselves, right, at the time, mm-hmm. And that we were just going to, prioritize that. And over 6 years later, we still share that intention of the kids being protected from any like negative, scary divorce things as much as possible, right? It's part of their story now too, right? And it's our job to help them integrate that fact of their life, right? My parents got divorced when I was 9, when I was 7, when I was 4. Like, that is their reality. But we're the adults that can help them, really just, what does that mean, right, for me and moving mm-hmm. forward? And I'm still safe, I'm still loved, we're still a family. So yes, there's so much and so many questions that came up with regards to just our conduct through all of that. And I started sharing some on like my private Instagram account. I would share a little bit about the divorce story. Again, I journaled quite a bit. Running and writing have always been pretty central, like self-care and coping strategies for me. So mm-hmm. I ended up with lots of journals about it, notes that I took through my own uncoupling coaching sessions. And so somewhere right in that kind of couple of years post-divorce, I realized I had a bit of an outline already just in the writing I had put down somewhere. And so, yeah, I don't even know when I honestly, I do kind of know. I take that back. It was very recently that I decided I'd actually move forward and like publish the book. I never knew, right? I always knew I wanted to write like on my best life document. I'm going to write my divorce story. I'm going to write down a lot of this. And it was a huge, just amazing exercise in healing anyway. So it would have been very worthwhile if it was only ever for me and never left my Google Drive.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's still, it's scary. I think I finally shared it with enough people I trust, like friends that I trust. I shared pieces. And I had it professionally like edited and proofread and just, I don't know, finally somewhere got brave that I was going to share it more widespread.
Yeah, but, I love that. Well, and yeah. I think that drives home two things that we cover in the Working Mom Happiness Method, which is messy action. You know, I love the term messy action, right? Mm-hmm. And that, and messy action is you doing your journaling and writing things down. And then you just said it, you sort of already had an outline. Like, it's crazy how things like that can happen where you, when you were writing things, you weren't deliberately writing or consciously writing them to become an outline for your book, but like that's messy action. You were writing things down and then eventually you were able to convert that into like an outline and then obviously ultimately a book. So I love that as an example of messy action. And then the other thing that we talk a lot about in the program is ready is a decision, not a feeling. Right?
That's in the book. We talked about that. And that's so, I put that in there. It applies like such a reoccurring theme of, the book of life in general, but it absolutely is of divorce, of yes.
Yeah. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. So, I hear you saying somewhere along the line, you decided to publish it and that's a decision. You probably still don't feel ready. I mean, you're probably still pushing through.
Yes, I probably would never feel totally ready.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, I love that so much. That's even something I talk about in the book. I remember reflecting on just going through it, writing it, but I don't think anyone, and now even since I've ended up talking to a number of people and been, you know, privileged to support some individuals in their own, through their own separation or divorce. And I don't know that anyone ever feels ready to get divorced. I don't think you ever feel ready to have that talk with your kids. So you don't feel ready to take, right, your wedding ring off for the last time. Like there's countless things you just will never feel ready for. But understanding that life moves forward and requires decisions. And I love that reminder. And it's come up, so often. I'm so glad you remembered to say that.
Well, I see it as a decision to value yourself and put yourself first, and a decision to put yourself on the path to a better life, eventually your best life. It's a decision that you're making to do that. And that's terrifying. And you will probably never, like you said, feel ready. It's just, that's the decision you're making, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that and the journey. So are there any sort of themes or tips from the book that you would like to share with folks listening now, if they're considering divorce or going through a divorce, that maybe just like one of the big themes, or, you know, obviously people can get all the details from the book, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, how to get it and when it's coming out. But is there anything you would share today?
Yes. And this, and I have disclaimers in the book, of course, like I very purposely, when I did decide to move forward with like publishing and sharing, chose to publish this. It's a memoir, right? Not a self-help book, although I do provide just lots of insight and tools, resources, just through the context of my own story. And with so many, I don't think anyone's hurting for anecdotes of varying divorce stories. We see it. It's prevalent enough that I do believe it's generalizable, and there will be things that are very relatable to anyone, wherever you are on this divorce journey, deciding if to get divorced, exploring that really delicate co-parenting, like this countless decisions, countless discussions to be had. And it's a lot like that aftermath, that first year, especially it's a lot, it's heavy. I would say reach out and get support through all of that so that you can look back. I mean, there will come, and I've yet to talk to anybody post-divorce who disagrees, like there will come a day that you are so painfully aware of your conduct through that phase. And that phase is, it's a rough one, right? You're being asked to make these huge decisions about like finances and what to do with the home and questions of custody. Like these aren't light, small questions or discussions. And you're being asked to do all this when really it feels like your world's just falling apart. It's not like you're in this really healthy, stable headspace and able to tackle these big decisions from, you know, a really secure spot. So it's just a lot. I would say have a lot of self-compassion for yourself and all that you're going through. And then also make these important decisions to prioritize kids, if that applies, to try and get through such a big change, like disruption to all these plans, right? It's the death of so many dreams, but how can you get through this in a way that like not just survive, but you're able to really thrive afterward as well, right? Like what does that look like moment to moment, day to day?
Yep. And I think that we're not good at that. We're just not, especially as women, we are taught by society that our value and worth lies in how we look and how we take care of all those around us, right? And so, and that's not true. That's BS, right? Our value is innate, like we talked about before, but we have subconscious programs that make us believe that our value comes from taking care of everyone else, not asking others to take care of us, right? And that's the permission we have to give ourselves. That's the permission that you are giving to women who may be going through this, also men who may be going through this, anyone, to really have that courage to ask for help. You are worth somebody helping and taking care of you as you go through, like you said, it's going to be quite possibly the toughest time of your life, right? Like probably likely the toughest time of your life. And I love that it's a memoir. I love that you described it as it's not, you know, you're not giving like specific self-help advice. It's a memoir because I personally learn much better and find it much more interesting. Like it holds my attention more to hear somebody's personal story, and I can feel so inspired. And inspired is definitely a way, but also sitting in sadness with somebody else, I think is a really effective way to heal and process your feelings. And so I appreciate that you were vulnerable to share your specific story. And I do think that's going to help so many others just from an experience in that way through you and through your experience.
Oh, thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, I really do think so. So before we tell people where they can find the book and when it's going to be released, is there anything else you want, anything else that you haven't shared that you'd like to share about the book?
I'm super grateful. And so I talk about these throughout the book. I call them wreck and rescue moments. Like I have things I come across, maybe it's something I've read, something I've heard on a podcast, something, an experience I've had, something somebody said to me, where I'm just like, initially it like both wrecks you and rescues you, right? Some people call them maybe like aha moments or turning points, or anyways, I've started calling them these wreck and rescue moments, which that's funny. It's easier to type than to say.
I love that. It wrecks you and it rescues you. I love that.
Yes. So and I found, anyway, so I've just come across a number of these. I've tried to include those things in the story. And I had one of those just listening to NPR the other day, just like serendipitously enough. I've been really scared now that the book's in book production, right? It's going to be out there. It's scary. I find myself like, I can't stop thinking of sections that like somebody's going to disagree with or hate, or that's going to be offensive. And I would never want anybody to be stuck in this place of feeling like regret or my words to be somehow weaponized against Anyways, all that to say, I've been overthinking it, but there was an author on NPR who had written a memoir, and now I feel bad because I can't remember his name, but he talked about memoirs and any story sharing, really, right? Any story sharing that we do, if you just think that like this story, the reality of that story is just this block of wood. In reality, it's this block of wood. And if I go back to these experiences and to that story, I'm going to carve out something, right? So this whole memoir, it's something carved out of that block of wood. And if my former husband were to go to that same block of wood, he would carve out something different.
Yes.
My kids could go back and carve their, whatever they carve out would look different. And at the end of the day, what you have carved out, what you've written down, is that feel, can you live with that, right? Does that mm-hmm. feel true to you? Is that your, anyway, and that was so powerful because I just realized, I'm like, this book is my carving out of, right, that block of divorce. What if I can say that? And
it's your art. It's your creation. Yeah. Yeah.
And just that it's been also so wreck and rescuing to see my family, to see my former husband, to see my kids be so, they've understood that this project matters to me. They've encouraged me to share it, never once asking if what I share is like accurate or fair or anything. They've all been nothing but supportive, which has been like one of my favorite takeaways so far, is that they've just trusted me that this is something that mattered to me, and like, go for it, mom, or go for it,
amazing,
mate. Right? Especially, oh, that was one more thing I was going to say. And I know people, right, might define these things differently. And I am, like, by definition, a single parent, right? My former husband's a single parent, but he's also, I've come to really appreciate, I feel like, a huge distinction where I do have an incredible co-parent, right? Mm-hmm. I have so much support. He drives some of the carpools. He is a very engaged dad. And anyway, I feel like we've reached this place of neither of us feeling like a single parent.
Okay.
But that's taken years, but he's so present in our kids' lives that it's been interesting, like just over the years I've found myself feeling less aligned with a single parent, even if the demands are more, but
I haven't heard that in that way before. That's the first time I've ever heard that described that way. And I think that's beautiful. And like you mentioned at the beginning, that might be somewhat rare, but I think that's, it's a great thing to strive towards. And I think that it's a great way to describe it. I love that. And then going back to what you said right before that as well about, you know, the sort of overanalysis and who am I going to offend? And then, you know, this is your block of wood and you have all of your family support. And this ties exactly to, you know, one of my faves, HILA, high intention, low attachment. You know, I always want to link in a HILA moment. And I know Meg has really embraced this and taught it to, you know, I know your kids, you've taught it to your kids. It's now a neon sign in my new house in the living room. So when you come, I'll show it to you. I know you haven't seen my new house yet, but I'll show you.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's like, it's a neon sign on the wall. But the way I see this as HILA is, you created this with the highest and best of intentions, like just beautiful intentions, healing intentions, aligned with your family, like your family knew you were doing it. And we know with HILA, that's all we can do. And after we've done something with our highest and best of intentions, and we've put our all into it and done our best, we have to have low attachment to the outcome. And in this case, I see that as low attachment to, like, if there are people who take it in the wrong way or have offense to it, that's really more sort of on them. It really doesn't have anything to do with you, but it's just, that's such a great HILA moment that you did it anyway. You push past that fear. You're technically are detaching. You're having a little anxiety about the outcome, mm-hmm. but you have detached from the outcome just through the act of publishing it, which I think is really amazing.
Yes, I love that you brought up HILA. I do love HILA. And I love, Katie's also talked to one of my daughters about it, who is She's so self-aware and she's so wise, but she is hilarious with Hyla because, anyway, she'll be like, she has a hard time with it. She's like, I am also highly attached to the outcome, Mom.
But that awareness is the first step, right? That is the first step, knowing. We call that, what we call that, high, huh? high attachment, high intention, high attachment. And
yes.
She's a very successful athlete, and that is really common, the high, huh? But really, yes. Really, if they can get to the high love, that's where they break through. It's really cool.
It's
but
so liberating, right? Yeah, like yeah, so yeah. liberating and so yeah. empowering that, yes, even if I am, right? It's still like, that's where I am. It's tempting to be, right?
The high attachment.
To the outcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, but is. Then just the permission, and that's another small consistent action over time, right? The more I just remember like, oh, right, I can give myself permission to set that attachment down, to like let go. And it's so empowering.
Yes. Beautiful. I love that. Well, thank you for sharing. I'm really glad you shared all of that. Okay. So wonderful. Tell us where and when we can buy the book and where we can find you. Like, is it on social media or a website? Just let everybody know. That would be great. And I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So yes. And this is all brand new. MegCampbellCoaching.com will be the website shortly. Meg Campbell Coaching on Instagram. I'm already there. And then the book will be available for purchase on Amazon early June. If anyone is interested in being part of a launch team, still learning how this works, but it will be available mid-May as kind of like a soft launch. If pretty much you have to agree to leave me a review to get it early, to leave the book a review. So that's mid-May, but otherwise just fully available early June. And yeah, I can't wait.
Amazing.
What else was I going to share?
No, that's it. That's perfect. That's great. Okay. No, that's exactly perfect. And I'll have that in the show notes just so they have the spelling correct of the website and your Instagram. And I'm sure they can message you on Instagram if they want to be part of the launch team, which is perfect. And then what I love to end with for all of my guests on my podcast is, would you be willing to share with us what is your definition of happiness?
Yes. My definition of happiness is presence and connection. I am most happy when, and this is where the whole program was so instrumental in just letting me return to being present, right? When I can be present with, if I'm watching my girls tumble or listening to my son's music, I feel so connected to them, and that is happiness. And I think when we're living in that kind of state, or some people call it that kind of flow where you are present and connected, then it sets you up, I think, to ideally, right, leave your little sphere of influence better than you found it, and kind of participate productively in this whole marvelous existence. I think that's happiness.
Yay. Oh, wow. So beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for coming on today. Massive congratulations on the book. I am personally so excited to read it and be a part of the launch team. I cannot wait. So just thank you and good luck. And thanks everybody for joining and for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks so much for listening to the Working Mom Happiness Method. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others who might benefit from listening. For show notes or to enroll in the Working Mom Happiness Method coaching courses, visit www.womensbestlifeuniversity.com.